in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Now, Father, we do thank you again. Amen. The message I'm going to preach tonight has been on my heart for at least a couple of months now, and that's usually the way it is. The Lord will lay something on my heart, and I try to take some time, especially the Sunday night sermon. Sunday mornings, going through the book of Acts, it's pretty well dictated to me where we're going to be, so that's not so much. But Sunday night is just wherever God leads. And I'm not going to claim that the messages are inspired, that he inspires me to preach on any certain thing, but he will lay things on my heart. And this has been going on for a couple of months now. And I've entitled my sermon tonight, It's Decision Time. It's Decision Time. And that's based upon Joshua's words in verse number 15, choose you this day whom ye will serve. In verse 1 through 13 of Joshua chapter 24, Joshua has been recounting to the nation of Israel the blessings of God upon them. We'll not take the time to read it, but if you kind of glance in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua gets them together and says in verse number 2 that God called Terah and Abraham and Nahor out of the land of Ur, out of Ur of the Chaldees, and it says at the end of verse 2, they served other gods. God called them out, verse number 3, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, led him through the land of Canaan, gave him Isaac and Jacob and Esau, the end of verse number 4, and Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. All right, God brought them Ur of the Chaldees, now they end up in Egypt, and he says in verse 6, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. I brought them out of Ur of the Chaldees, I brought them out of Egypt, two lands of idolatry. The historians tell us that Abraham's father, Terah, was a maker of idols. He made statues and gods. And God said of them that they served, at the end of verse 2, they served other gods. Then in verse 6, they went into Egypt and they picked up all of the worship of the Egyptians and the idolatry that was there. And he says in verse number 6, they came out of Egypt. And verse number 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites. God had guided them, brought them out of Ur, brought them out of Egypt, now took them into the land of the Amorites where he wanted them to inherit that land, you know, that flows with milk and honey. But the Amorites were just like the Egyptians and just like those in Ur, and they were steeped in idolatry. We mentioned this morning when Paul went to Athens and saw the city wholly given to idolatry that he disputed with those in the synagogue as opposed to reasoning with them. And the Jews are are supposed to abhor idolatry. And so God brought him out of Ur. God brought, Lona, I just saw you sitting there. God bless you, I didn't know Lona was back there. Dave's sitting in front of her and I couldn't see her back there. Well, praise the Lord, I'm glad she's here this evening. Stop the whole sermon just for her tonight. Amen. You think I don't notice anything when I'm up here, don't you? That's the first service she's been back with us. We're glad to have her here. So all of this, all these nations given to idolatry, and God said, I brought you out of that and brought you out of that, and I took you into the land of Canaan, and I had you overthrow the Amorites. Again, if you go from verse 8 down to 9, Balak and Balaam and the story of cursing the children of Israel, and God protected them. And God is showing how he has jealously guarded and protected his people Israel to keep them from the idolatry of Ur, to keep them from the idolatry of the Egyptians, to keep them from the idolatry of the Amorites. He's made them a holy nation to himself. And he wants them to serve him. And so Joshua says on the basis of that, notice verse number 14 says, now therefore, and we see that so many times, therefore, because of what God has done, because of his blessing, Joshua says to the nation, now therefore, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth and put away the idols which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Joshua brings all of Israel together and rehearses the blessings of God before them and contrasts the idolatry to the true worship of God. To serving idols, to serving the true and living God. And he says to the nation of Israel in verse number 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. He says to the nation of Israel, it is decision time. If your loyalties are with the gods of the Amorites and the Egyptians and the gods of Ur, then take them and serve them. But if your loyalties are to the God of Israel, then get rid of all those idols, get rid of all that stuff, get rid of all that junk, and serve the Lord, he says in verse 14, in sincerity and truth. Make a decision. Make a choice. I want to tell you two things about this decision tonight. First of all, it's an individual decision. It is an individual decision. Joshua says in verse number 15, but as for me. But as for me. Every single person in this room has to make this decision for themselves to serve the Lord. Someone else cannot make that decision for you. You cannot be forced to make spiritual decisions. Now we're going to focus this evening on spiritual decisions. Not the decisions of where you're going to live or what car you're going to buy or what bank you're going to put your money in. But we're talking about spiritual decisions. And the first spiritual decision each individual needs to make is that decision for salvation. And can I tell you tonight, that is a decision that you have the ability to choose or reject. You have the ability, every individual does, to either receive Christ or reject Christ. Look, if you would, over at Matthew chapter 23. Keep your place. We'll be back in Joshua. But look at Matthew chapter 23. Every individual that's ever graced the face of this earth has had to make a decision regarding salvation. And that salvation is found in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's either receive him or reject him. And not to receive him is to reject him. Somebody says, well, I never received him, but I haven't rejected him. If you haven't received him, you have rejected him. Because he's given the invitation. He said, come unto me. He said, come and let us. He said, come as many times as he possibly can. And if you've not responded to that invitation to come, you have rejected that. Notice in Matthew chapter 23, we see some people that rejected the invitation of God. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 37, the Lord Jesus Christ is up on a mountain looking down over the city of Jerusalem. He had come to be their Messiah. He had come to be Christ their King. But he says in Matthew 23 and verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. He's talking about those Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Those that God had raised up and sent to Jerusalem and told him, preach to Jerusalem, preach and tell him, my son, the Christ, the Messiah is coming. And he says, you have killed the prophets and stoned them which were sent to you. Jesus says in the middle of the verse, how often would I have gathered thy children together? Even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. How often would I, Jesus says, how often would I have gathered you together? At the hand of their chicks. And the end of the verse says, and ye would not. Do you know people can turn away God? They can resist His grace. I got into a discussion about 2 weeks ago with a fellow that was looking at Bible Baptist Church and considering coming. And as he asked me some questions, he asked me about election in the Bible, what I believe about election. And just suffice it to say, he and I were not on the same page. We were not in the same book when it came to election. And I said, Calvinism kills evangelism. He didn't like Calvin. He said, well, it's not Calvinism, it's Bible. And I said, well, I believe that God in his foreknowledge knew who would get saved and who would not get saved. And thus he elected those that he knew by his foreknowledge would trust Christ. And he said, oh, no, I believe in eternity past that God looked down and he favored some and chose them out and didn't favor others and said they can't get saved even if they want to. And now when you get saved, it's not because of your free will. It's because God chose you in eternity past. And I said, you know, you ought to stay in the church you're in right now. Calvin's teaching is TULIP, that's the letters they use, total depravity, the five letters, T-U-L-I-P, total depravity, unmerited favor, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. I don't agree with any of those five things in the setting that John Calvin taught them. Some people say, well, I believe in perseverance of the saints, not the way John Calvin taught it. So I'm a no-point Calvinist. Some people say I'm a 5-point or you're a 4-point or I'm a 2-point because I believe in a couple. I'm a no-point Calvin. I don't believe in it. I believe that every man has the free will to either receive Christ or reject Christ. It's not been predetermined by God and nobody has the free will to make a decision. Jesus said, I would have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks, and ye would not. There's no irresistible grace. They resisted it. You have to make a decision for salvation. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. It's open to everybody. But some do not take advantage and do not make the right decision regarding salvation. The Lord said in 1 Peter that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His desire is for everybody to get saved. So if he in eternity past picked some and said, you can't get saved even if you want to, he just destroyed the ability to say he's not willing that any should perish. You have to make a decision for salvation. I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice has already made the spiritual decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nobody else can make that decision for you. We'd like to. We'd love to. But we can't do it. You can't force a conversion. You might get somebody, you might by threat of death or by threat of imprisonment, get them to pray a prayer, but that doesn't mean they mean it, doesn't mean it's real. You can't force a conversion. It's an individual decision. Now, after you and I get saved, we've got other spiritual decisions to make. The Bible commands us after we get saved to get baptized. To get baptized in water by immersion. Following afterward our personal conversion or our testimony of salvation. And some folks decide to do it, and some folks decide not to do it. It is a choice that has to be made. It's an individual privilege to do it. You need to join a church, a good Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing Baptist church. And I can recommend one for you. There are spiritual decisions in our life that need to be made. And our spiritual growth depends on us making the right decisions according to the Word of God. It's getting ahead of the decision schedule, but you know, and I mentioned Romans chapter 12 this morning where Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul said to the believers at Rome, he said, I beseech you, I beg, I plead, I ask you, I invite you to give your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It means they hadn't yet. And Paul's asking them to surrender their bodies as a sacrifice to God. To give their lives completely to God. It's a decision every believer has to make. And some decide to do it and some decide not to do it. Here in Joshua chapter 24, we're back there again. Joshua is encouraging people to make a decision. A personal, an individual decision. He says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Serving the Lord is an individual decision. In fact, in these two verses, if you count, if you circle, I've done it with a green marker. If you circle the word serve or serve, in these two verses, it's there seven times. Seven times in two verses. Joshua's invitation here is not for salvation. It's not for the body being a living sacrifice. It's not for baptism or church marriage. His invitation to these people, his sermon topic is, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Can I ask you a question this evening? Have you made a conscious decision to serve your God? It's a spiritual decision that is not the same as salvation. Not the same as baptism. Not the same as church membership. Not even the same as presenting your body a living sacrifice. But it is a decision that in your life, out of thankfulness for what God has done, you have made the decision you're going to serve God. Now there are innumerable capacities in which an individual Christian can serve God. You can serve God as a preacher. I would highly recommend that. I think that's a wonderful way to serve God. Not everybody's called to do that. And I don't encourage people that don't feel called to do it, to do it. But I encourage people to give it a shot. You know, personally, I've recommended my boys. I say, you go to Bible college. You give God an opportunity. If he doesn't want to use you, then go do whatever else you want to do. But give God first chance. My kids weren't always willing. They weren't always eager. When Matt went off to Bible college, he had the attitude, I'm just going to do it because God expects it of me. I'll go get 1 year done, then I'll go to community college or go do whatever I want to do. You know how that worked out, don't you? So I don't recommend that everybody be a preacher. Some God might call to serve as a missionary, like all these that we see on the walls around us. God might call you to be a Sunday school teacher. There are so many ways that we could serve the church. A song leader, a musician, running the sound room, cleaning the building, preparing food downstairs, going on visitation, working on the bus route, being an encouragement to one, you know, that's serving God, being an encouragement to one another when you walk through the doors. As a pastor, I get blessed when I see people come in and talking to each other and being friendly to one another, especially when we get new people that are new around the church and they're kind of not sure about everything, and some of our folks just go over and out of the blue say, hi, my name is, and how are you, and get to know each other. And sometimes you get to know new people better than I do. And it's a wonderful way to serve God. Taking the trash out is serving God. Anything we do for our God is serve, and we all ought to have a way in how we serve Him, by handing out gospel tracts, by inviting people to church. The Lord ought to be the center of our life. And Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. There is no neutral ground. You're either serving God or you're susceptible to the idols. If you don't give your heart wholeheartedly to God, if you don't commit yourself and make the decision to commit to God, those idols are going to creep back into your life. And so Joshua encourages him. He says, it is an individual decision. As for me. Let me tell you something about Joshua's decision as we think about his individual decision. Look at the verse. He is saying to the nation of Israel, he's saying to the Jewish people, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is a public decision. It is a public decision. You know, there are no secret servants in the service of God. The secret service is a government project. There are no secret disciples of the Lord. There are no secret servants. You know what Paul said in most of his letters? Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talked about his servanthood. He let people know he was a servant of God. And if you're a servant of God, it's going to be public. People are going to know. You just enjoy the things of God, the people of God, being around the house of God, doing the things of God. It's going to be a public decision. Not that you come down to the front of the church and declare everybody, hey, I want everybody to know I'm going to serve God. But it's a decision that's public, and people will know it of you, whether you serve God or not. Maybe you serve God just by your prayer life. What a wonderful way to serve God. But it is a public decision. Not only was Joshua's decision a public decision, it was a personal decision. He made the decision for himself. Joshua said, choose you this day. And I love Joshua's attitude. You do what you want to do. You serve who you want to serve. You want to serve the gods of the Amorites and the Egyptians and the Canaanites where you've been brought? Or you want to serve God? It's up to you, Joshua's saying, and I'll put it in the New Leafly version. Joshua says, I don't care. But as for me, I'm going to serve God. It's a personal decision. No matter who's doing what around you, you just say, I'm going to serve God. If the whole world turns away, I'm going to serve God. My whole family deserts me, I'm going to serve God. If my friends don't like it any longer, I'm going to serve God. Joshua made that personal decision. It was public. It was personal. It was persuasive. It was persuasive. You know what? You know what is necessary for other people to do the right thing? Is to see one person do the right thing. You know, you ever watch the Billy Graham Crusades on television? I don't recommend this wholeheartedly, but just as an example of what we're talking about. If you ever watch those Billy Graham Crusades, Billy Graham would preach a sermon, and all of his sermons were very simple. They were very gospel-based. They were not elaborate. They were not theological. They were not great doctrine. They were just simple salvation messages. And when he got done in his 30 or 40 minutes of preaching in those big auditoriums or football stadiums or whatever it was, he would give an invitation. George Beverly Shea would come up with that great bass voice and sing one of those great hymns from the old time. And the minute he started singing, people would start pouring down from everywhere in the stadium. Can I tell you that was staged? If you don't know this, a lot of those people that started coming were workers. They were coming down to the altar to deal with those that were going to come forward for salvation. But when you sit down and watch that, you don't realize that. All you see is him saying, if you want to trust Christ, come down right now. And when some people, the workers, start making their way back, those that are standing back there and wondering whether they should come, they see other people come and they just jump in line and they go down there. I'm not saying they're not making a right decision, but they're influenced by the movement of others. And sometimes all somebody else in your family needs to do to serve God is see you do it first. Joshua, it was a persuasive decision. How do I know that? He said at the end of verse number 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Look, if you would, down at verse number 24. Verse number 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. They made that decision because Joshua led the way. They made that decision because Joshua said, I am going to serve God. You choose who you're going to serve. And the people said, we will choose to serve the Lord also. It was a persuasive decision. And lastly, not the last of the sermon, but the last of this point, Joshua's individual decision was public, it was personal, it was persuasive, and it was positive. It was positive. He influenced people in the right direction. There are too many Christians that are influencing other Christians in the wrong direction. Not being a positive influence for God. God forbid that you and I should ever be a detriment to somebody else's spiritual advancement and someone else's spiritual growth. And so Joshua's testimony was that when he made this personal decision, when he made this public decision, when he made this persuasive decision, it was to guide other people in a positive direction. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make positive decisions. We live every day with the results of the decisions we make. When those decisions are positive and favoring God, there's going to be a positive result from it. When those decisions are negative as far as our service to God is concerned, there's going to be negative consequences from it. It's just as simple as black and white. So Joshua made an individual decision. As for me. Second of all, and I said there was just two things about this. First, it was an individual decision. And the second thing I want you to see, it was a household decision. It says in verse number 15, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether it be the gods of your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, Joshua said, and my house. Joshua said, as for me and my house. Now, you said, wait a minute, preacher, you just said you can't make decisions for other people. And somebody would obviously point this out and say, hey, he can't make decisions for other people. Oh, yes, he could. If they were living in his house, he could make the decisions that he wanted to make. Whether it was his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, if they're under the confines, if they're under his roof, he could make the decision for them. Will you take that biblical truth and lock into it? Now, I know most of you probably think that the Leafley children were all angels. All eight of those kids, and still, they're all still growing. Chris is 31, Aaron's 7, and then all the ones that are in between it. And I'm not going to pick any of them or embarrass them tonight, especially Jocelyn, because she's sitting here. But can I tell you this, that there isn't, except for Jocelyn, of course, there isn't a one of the children that we didn't have this discussion at one time because I said so. I pay the mortgage. I pay the utilities. I pay your schooling. I buy your clothes. I give you food. You're going to do what I say. But it's not fair. Get rid of the word. I have made a decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're going to live here, there's going to be some things you're going to do. If you're going to live here, there's going to be some things you're not going to do. Because this house has been dedicated to the glory of God. Now you say, how does that work out? Oh, kids are kids. They struggle. You can't, as we said, I'm going to contradict myself. You can't make the decision for others, but you can make the decision for others. And you understand what I mean. You can't make that decision for those kids individually, but you can say, this is a decision for our household, and this is what's going to be, and this is how it's going to be here. And there are some times that kids say, well, I want to dress this way, or I want this kind of music, or I want this kind of language, or I want to do this, or I want to go there, or I want to have these people over, or I want to do this. Not in this house. This house has been given and dedicated to the glory of God, and there's some things that just don't go on here. Isn't that what Joshua is saying? Look what he said in verse number 14. Verse number 14. He said, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Our churches and our nation need more men who are spiritual leaders in their home. I'm going to say that again, and you say amen when I'm done. Our churches and our nations need more men who are spiritual leaders in their homes. Okay, some of you are getting it now. Joshua is the one that made the decision for his home. We will serve the Lord. Granted, moms are home with the children most of the time while dads are off at work. They have a greater influence as far as the day is concerned. But when dad comes home at night, he's got to be a spiritual influence positively for God. Or it just isn't going to work. And there's some things that they're going to have to make decisions. The father, the husband, has to lay down the rules and say, we will go to church every time the doors are open. We will. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will. It's positive. And the head of the home's got to sit down and say, here's what we're going to do in this house. We're going to church unless providentially injured. We're going to church every time the doors are open. Take spiritual leadership. We are going to make God and the Bible the center of this home. That doesn't mean you got to buy every plaque you find, you know, and every picture that's got spiritual meaning and all that kind of. You don't have to do it by putting on. You do it by the way you live. Our children learn by watching us much more than they do by what we tell them. A lot of second generation Christians don't get what the first generation got because they see the first generation and how they behave. And so we need to make that decision that we are going to do the things that are right. And then there's some things we need to get rid of. Look at verse number 14 again. Serve him in sincerity and truth and put away. Underline those two words. Put away. There's some things that are not allowed in this house. They're not allowed in this house. Now can I tell you with all honesty, and again not naming individual children, well it was all of them, that there are certain times in their life and I had to sit down and, if you know me, I'm not a yeller. I yell when I'm preaching, but that's all. I'm not a yeller. I'm a screamer. I just simply tell them, that's not allowed. This CD you've got, I found it under your bed. I found it hidden in the drop ceiling above you. Kids are so ingenious. They think, you know, but dad doesn't know, mom doesn't know. They don't realize they're doing the exact same things we did when we were kids. Don't tell them. They're doing the same things we did when we were their age. And it's like, we're not going to, how did you know that? How did you figure it out? I'm not telling. And you find this stuff. I remember, and I won't pick names, but I remember when the older kids were older and one of the middle ones that's younger, he'd go into his older sister's room and he'd come out with some CDs that I hadn't found yet that were some music that's not allowed in the house. And he took them outside and he busted them all up. Now that was out of the realm of what was allowed for him to do. He was not supposed to do stuff like that. But it was funny because then about 3 or 4 years later, he's the one I'm dealing with about the same kind of stuff he was so piously righteous about getting rid of when it was his sister that liked it. And that's just the way the kids are. That's the way they're raised. It's the way they grow up. It's peer pressure. It's all that stuff that's in this world. And they need a positive influence at home. Doesn't mean we're going to have a 100% success rate. It doesn't mean that. The Bible doesn't give us that guarantee. But it does mean that they at least get that positive influence of serving God. Why is it we think that the only way that a young boy or a young girl is supposed to serve God is if God comes down during their life and interrupts their life dream? You know what I'm saying? We think that a youngster is supposed to pursue whatever they want to do. They want to be an agriculturist. They want to be a scientist. They want to be a banker. That's all fine. Get your goals set. Get all those plans set. But then if God interrupts your life and calls you to be a missionary or a pastor or something like that, then go ahead and do that. Why don't we reverse it? Why don't we say, why don't you dedicate your heart and your life to serving God in full-time service some way? And if God doesn't want you, then go ahead and do something else. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've told you this story before. I remember years ago when we had visitors here this morning. And the guy walked in. I looked at him. I said, boy, I know you from somewhere. And he said, yeah, from Aldon Supply. And I thought, oh, he must work at Aldon Supply. No, he thought I worked at Aldon Supply. I said, no, it wasn't Aldon. It was Famous Supply. And he said, oh, okay, yeah, right. And I recognized him as a guy that used to come in and buy there. And he recognized me. I used to sell it. After we got done preaching this morning, he's walking out the door. He said, now I see why you left the hardware business. I thought, well, praise the Lord. That's a good compliment. I like that. But I remember several years ago when I made the decision to leave that occupation and pastor the church full time. And some of you that have been around a while will have heard this story before. I was out picking up my girls at the Christian school they went to in Zanesville one day. And we're driving back and I was ready to break the news to them that Dad was going to leave his secular job and become the full-time pastor of the church. And I can use the kids' names in these illustrations because it's not embarrassing for them. But we're riding home and I'm breaking the news to Sarah and Miranda as they're riding in the car with me. And I tell them, I'm going to leave Famous Supply. There's, you know, going to be a little different. I'm going to be full-time at the church. And the first thing Sarah said, does that mean we're going to be poor? That's the first words out of her mouth. Does that mean we're going to be poor? I said, no, Sarah, we're not going to be poor. We're going to be fine. The Lord's going to take care of us. And I said, we might just not be able to go out to eat as much as we go out to eat now. And little Miranda said, Daddy, I'll sell my stuffed animals so we can have more money and still go out to eat as much as we go out to eat. Somehow we get the idea that serving the Lord is going to cost us something in that way. And the rewards are much greater than anything that's negative that's out there. But why is it that we can't encourage our folks, hey, give your heart to God. Give your life to God. Do something for God. Then if God interrupts you and calls you to do something else, go ahead, help yourself. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me say this. Who said that? Who said, choose you this day whom you will serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who said that? Joshua. Now I'm going to get myself in hot water right here. It wasn't Mrs. Joshua. It was Mr. Joshua. He made the decision. We, this house, is going to serve God. One of the great problems in our society, and again, I'll get myself in hot water. I apologize ahead of time for all the feminists that might be here this evening. No, I won't apologize. That's to live with it. It was Mr. Joshua that made the decision. One of the problems in our nation right now is that homes are not structured according to the Bible. It was Joshua that made the decision and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We went up yesterday to Canton. We took a family fun day in the afternoon. Took Aaron to go up to Canton to go up to Chuck E. Cheese and have some fun up there. And we took Lily. We took the little bus girl with us. We called her mom, said, can she go? She'd never been to a mall. We stopped at the mall to eat Sakio's, of course, on the way up there, my favorite restaurant. So we stopped there. She'd never been to a mall before, never seen a mall, never been in one. We had to drag her out of that place and get her out of there. Then we took her to Chuck E. Cheese. But we're sitting at Sakio's, we're finished our eating, and Lily says, she said, What are we going to do after this? Well, Sonia had said, I'd like to go to JCPenney's, right? There wasn't even one in that mall. I didn't know it. But she said, I'd like to go to JCPenney's and I'd like to go to this store. I just wanted to get the Chuck E. Cheese and go get it over with, you know. I just wanted to go do this and have the kids have some fun. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, Sonia wants to go, you know, to JCPenney. And so Lily says, well, what are we going to do? Sonia, what are we going to do? And I said, well, I'll decide what we're going to do. She said, no, you're not. Sonia's going to decide what we do. I said, no, in our house, I decide what we're going to do. I ask Sonia what she wants to do, and then I make a decision. And when I make the decision, I live with it. If it's not pleasing to her, it might be rough the rest of the day, but I'm the one that makes the decision. Now, see, that is the biblical formula. Now, again, I'm not talking about a man that's authoritative and dictatorship. I mean, if you're not open to the thoughts and the desires and the likes of your wife, you know, that you got other issues, you got other problems. But a man needs to make spiritual decisions in his home. We are going. It's not to be the wife. Again, too many times religion is the wife's, is the woman's spot and job to take care of. It ought not be that way. It's Joshua, not Mrs. Joshua. Let me say this. It wasn't Joshua Jr. that made the decision. We've got a problem in our country where too many kids run the homes. Too many kids dictate what the family's going to do and where they're going to go. God bless that little girl that's with us. She's not here right now. We sent her home. But there's a problem in our homes where kids run their houses and they're not used to structure and they're not used to organization and they're not used to leadership and they're not used to being told, here's what you're going to do and here's when you're going to do it. You're going to do it now. Go sit over there until I tell you you can get up again. Kids are used to running the homes, and when it works that way, you're not going to have a spiritually conducive household. People can say all they want to. Well, I think it should be a joint decision. Well, I think the kids ought to have input. Boy, what a wild society we've got in our day. We've got to get back to what the Bible tells us. There has to be, and this just goes into colloquialisms. The buck has to stop somewhere. Somebody has to be the boss. You can't have two heads. Two heads is a monster. Two heads is a creature. Somebody has to be the one that makes the final decision. And in the Bible, we don't have time to go over to 1 Corinthians. But Christ is the head of the man, so the man is the head of the woman. And the woman basically, or from there it goes down to the children. Kids, you're at the bottom of the food chain. And that's just God's system of organization. And when we follow it, God blesses it. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe there's some things we need to incorporate in our homes and say this is going to be a God-honoring, Christ-honoring home. Maybe there's some things we need to get out of the house. And folks, parents, it might have to begin with us. Maybe there's some books and magazines that have no business being in our house. You say, well, there's something I enjoy reading and there's some language in it. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've read some books, some Grisham books, some Tom Clancy books. I read them and I like the story, but there's some things in them. When I get done, I get that book out of the house. I don't want it on the bookshelf where one of my kids is going to read it. Now, you might find that contradictory. Well, you shouldn't be reading it either. I understand that. But I'm just saying it's not going to linger around. Most of the books I can read, I can leave there. But some of them, I get out of the house when I'm done. Watch the movies you have come in. There's TV shows our kids are not allowed to watch for 1 minute, for 60 seconds. Nothing on the Disney Channel. Nothing on the Disney Channel is permissible for the kids to watch. Because there's nothing in there that's going to promote or push them for decency. It's all going to be what society accepts right now. Little girls are kissing each other, they're kissing the boys and holding hands and all this kind of stuff, and it just promotes all those values. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I tell you this? Maybe you're in shock right now. Serving the Lord is not just going to church on Sunday morning. Serving the Lord is not just putting your check in the offering plate. Serving the Lord is going home and saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There ought to be difference between your house and your neighbor's house. Not in the structure of it, but in the atmosphere inside the doors. It ought to be something when somebody walks in your house. You don't have to have pictures and pennants and big signs hanging down saying we're Christian. But there ought to be something when they walk in, they just say, you know, it's different in here than it is. Don't you see it when you go to somebody else's house? I mean, if not, go pick up some of these bus kids on Sunday morning. I'm not bashing them. Thank God they're coming to church. But go to their house and pick them up and let them get in your van and notice the difference in the odor in your vehicle when one kid gets in your van that comes from a smoker's house. And those kids are living in that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, inhaling that the rest of their life. Every day, these little innocent children. Your house and mine ought to be different. There ought to be a different atmosphere, a different smell, a different music, a different everything about it. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever made an individual decision that you are going to serve God? Whatever capacity He has for you. Doesn't mean He's going to call you to preach. Doesn't mean He's going to call you to be a missionary. But have you ever made the individual decision, God, I will serve you. I will do whatever you want me to do. Now, granted, you got to be careful when you say that because God will take you at your word. And then have we made those decisions? As for me and my house. As for me and my house. Now, some of you ladies are single ladies. Your husbands have passed away. You're not married. Whatever the situation is, you don't have that other head. You're the head of your house. You still have the responsibility to make that decision. Till the day that God would rearrange the circumstances or whatever, you need to make that decision. In my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of the Amorites, the gods of Egypt, or the God of Israel. The God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Choose. But as for me and my house, don't care what you choose. Doesn't make any difference to me whether you choose one or the other. I want God to bless me. This is Joshua speaking. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.